Welcome everyone. Thank you very much for tuning in. Welcome to the Instructional Leadership Show. I'm your host, Justin Bader, and this is episode 51 of the Instructional Leadership Show, and I've titled this Teacher Evaluation During School Closures. This is certainly an unprecedented time, and yet it's the time of year when typically, as instructional leaders, we're focused on teacher evaluation. So every week on the Instructional Leadership Show, what we typically do is we talk about how to get into classrooms, have feedback conversations with teachers, and discover your best opportunities for school improvement. And I've been thinking long and hard the last couple of weeks about exactly what to carry on with and what to change up in these unprecedented times. And I made the decision for this week's show to really step away from our normal agenda, because the reality is we are far away from normal circumstances now. So what I wanted to shift into focusing on, and I hope this is helpful to your thinking, and I would welcome your thinking. If you want to leave a comment, let me know that you are tuning in either now or later. I thought what we would focus on for the foreseeable future is on a couple of different priorities. Obviously, we're not getting into classrooms. We're not observing teaching, except maybe a little bit virtually, which we'll talk about a bit. I thought rather instead we would talk about navigating these uncertain times with wisdom. You know, there are just so many decisions that have to be made. There is so much uncertainty. There are so many new learning curves that we're having to climb. I think we're going to have a number of different places where we need to focus in the next couple of weeks. And there are often going to be decisions that we have to make where there really are no perfect outcomes that we can create, right? There's no one answer that's going to fix everything. We're going to have to be making a lot of trade-offs that are less than ideal when it comes to how we serve students and how we work with staff in the face of continued school closures. And I think that reality is setting in now that spring break is behind a lot of districts, you know, now that it's clear that schools are not going to be reopened by Easter, you know, that kind of final stretch of the school year, it's looking like may not happen. So I think this is a time when we need to be leading. We need to be modeling compassion, we need to be modeling self-care, and we need to prioritize the needs of the most vulnerable in our school communities, including our staff. So I hope it's okay with all of our members if we take a little bit of a detour from our usual roadmap. Normally, we cycle every 6 months through these six themes. And this is our 51st episode of the Instructional Leadership Show. So we've spent quite a bit of time doing that, and we will get back to that and continuing to raise the bar in each of those areas in our roadmap. But does that make sense that we would treat this time a little bit differently because it is different? I hope that works for you. And I wanted to pose a question that I think there are no good answers to, but that we are going to really take an honest look at today. How can we complete the teacher evaluation process, I should say process here, with integrity if we're out of school through the rest of the year? And I think we have to be realistic with ourselves and honest with ourselves about what's possible, knowing that these are strange times. These are unprecedented times. And I know that somebody probably is going to ask you about teacher evaluations soon if they have not already. And I don't know what your personal opinion about this is. Let me know what you think. But I kind of feel like there's not going to be a perfect answer to that question, right? If your teacher evaluations were already done before all this happened, before school was canceled, great. I think that probably almost nobody is in that situation unless you have an unusual school calendar. So I wanted to share with you, I think I have 9 key points for your reflection. I guess I have 10. 10's a great round number, right? Why not? So first of all, I think we need to acknowledge that whatever it is that is going on now that teachers are doing, however they're supporting students, whether they're making packets, whether they are doing Google Classroom, whether they're doing Blackboard Connect kind of remote teaching, whether they're sending kids to online resources like Khan Academy, whatever it is that teachers are doing now, that is not the job that they signed up for, right? That is not the job they were trained for. It's not what they went to college for. It's not what they went to grad school for. It's not what they signed a contract for. These are unprecedented times. And when it comes to the evaluation process, we really cannot expect to complete that process in anything even remotely approaching the usual way. So I don't know who needs to hear that. I think everybody probably has realized that by this point. But I see one of my responsibilities in the role that I play in our profession as questioning some of the things that might come from your senior leadership. So I work directly with central office leaders, and I see it as kind of my job to give central office leaders a bit of a hard time if we end up with some things that really just do not fit the circumstances. So I assume that by law you're required to do teacher evaluations. I'm assuming that when the governor or whoever waived annual testing for your students, they didn't also say, oh, by the way, don't evaluate teachers. You know, if they did, great, fine. You're off the hook for even having to think about this. But I think, you know, everybody understands that this is going to be different. And I think one of the ways that it's going to be different this year is that, of course, everybody's personal circumstances, the situation with whether they have kids at home, whether they are caring for sick loved ones, whether they're maybe perhaps married to a first responder or a doctor or a nurse, you know, those things matter a great deal. You know, it's very different if you have a 5-year-old versus a 1-year-old or a 10-year-old. You know, kids at home are incredibly important, and we can't pretend that people are just employees who were hired to do a job. Right. Let me know what you think about that if you're tuning in live here. I think we really have to be understanding of the fact that family comes first, right? And if people have a family, then it is not going to be possible to sit on Zoom calls and teach remotely for hours and hours and hours a day. Let me know what you think about that. And I think just more generally, most of what we normally do, most of the work that teachers are normally doing to serve their students, to meet their needs, to bring them together in a classroom community, most of that, frankly, is not really possible online. And I think we've spent the last couple of weeks as a profession scrambling to figure out how to do our very best, how to do what we can do online, do what we can do remotely. But we know that, you know, even if we could take all of our curriculum and deliver it online or make packets or whatever it is that we're doing, we know that a lot of the true value that teachers provide is through those relationships with students and being there face to face and being a safe place and being a place where students can get breakfast and lunch and be surrounded by people who care about them and have a peaceful environment to do their work in. We know none of that is really possible online. We know our role is greatly reduced by the fact that we are not physically with kids. So I know we have to kind of, you know, make a good effort in order to, you know, to basically, keep our parents happy, keep our parents, equipped with the resources they need to do their job. But honestly, a lot of this is falling on parents, and we simply don't have access to the facilities and having students face to face in order to do what we really do. So when it comes to the evaluation process, I hope you won't think me too casual about this to say, really, we have to let a lot of it go, frankly. I don't know if I'm overstating that, but really we're stuck with the evidence we have. And for most teachers, for most administrators, that's not much. If you have been on top of your classroom walkthroughs and your teacher evaluations throughout the year, maybe you have enough to go ahead and write good evaluations for everybody with what you have now. I mean, we're stuck with what we have now, and we're probably not going to get back into classrooms to really do those formal observations. I would guess that probably only about 30 to 40% of required formal observations have been done at this point. You know, this is something that people start to think about in the new year. People start to get really serious about after spring break. So I'm going to guess that probably 60, 70% of required formal observations have not been done. And that is what it is. So, you know, I'm a big fan of getting into classrooms informally, frequently, every single day. So hopefully you have been in classrooms throughout the year, but you probably do not have a ton of formal observation evidence. And that is what it is. So I'm seeing a lot of kind of wondering and wrong file there. So I'm seeing a lot of discussion among educational leaders about what do we really emphasize for the rest of the year? How do we keep people, you know, accountable for the fact, you know, if everybody's still getting paid? I'm seeing a lot of concern that, you know, we're holding people accountable for, you know, for doing things, for everybody putting in equal work. And I think one of the things that we're going to have to let go to some extent is just that expectation that it is going to be the same for everyone. And certainly the impact of these school closures is not going to fall equally on everyone, right? Like if you have, you know, cafeteria staff who are still providing meals to students, if you have bus drivers who are delivering those meals, you know, there are some staff who obviously can keep doing something that's directly related to what they were doing before, just in a different way. Teachers can prepare materials and connect with students online in various ways. But we also have a lot of people, probably 30 to 50% of your staff really can't do their job. Their job, as we know it, does not exist at the moment, you know, in this kind of online school closure world. And I think one of the things that we have got to prioritize is not just, you know, hours on the computer or number of phone calls made, but I think we've got to really look at connection. You know, how are we connecting with our students? Because honestly, if we're not connected to our students, if we're not reaching out to our students, then we don't really exist to them, right? Like if it's kind of like a summer vacation mode, right? For students, if they are home, if they are not hearing from us, if we are not providing anything for them because we're not there in person and we're not reaching out, then, you know, all of the materials that we might be publishing on Google Classroom or whatever aren't really making much of a difference, just as any other materials published online, you know, don't substitute for an education. So I think what we have to look for is how we can best maintain our connection with students, you know, how we can maintain connections between students. And I definitely am not the person with all the answers on that. I think we've got to, you know, to recognize that people are doing the best they can, and we've got to prioritize maintaining those connections with students to the greatest extent possible. If we can, you know, save people time, you know, if all these, I gotta be honest, the big thing here that I think we've got to get away from is these 7-hour marathon back-to-back sessions of Zoom meetings. Can I get an amen on that? I don't know if you are experiencing that, but I am definitely seeing that there are some people who are just having to attend Zoom meetings all day long. And I get the emergency planning aspect of that. I get the you know, the sense that we had to do something to kind of adjust. We had to prepare. And especially for leaders, you know, you may be in a lot of meetings for a while, but I want to be careful about how much we're requiring teachers to be in meetings, because again, family first, right? Everybody has things going on in their personal life. You know, people who have kids don't have options. You know, there are not other childcare options out there. And even if you know, and I think people's own situation, they kind of mentally apply to everybody else. Like if you don't have kids, it's easy to think, well, everybody else is just sitting around watching Netflix. Surely they can hop on as a call. And I'm seeing stuff like, you know, staff happy hour on Zoom. And I'm like, yeah, people don't really, you know, if you want to, you know, chat with your friends or whatever, great. But I really don't want an obligation that takes me away from my kids if I can avoid it. I mean, that's just kind of my perspective on that. And I know many, many educators have people at home that they are responsible for. So I think we've got to really think about what is going to create the biggest impact. Susan's watching on Facebook. Thanks for your comment there, Susan. So when it comes to impact, what is it? We'll talk maybe more about this in some upcoming episodes of the show, and maybe we'll have some discussions about what can make the biggest difference for students. But I think we've got to get away from thud factor. What is thud factor? Here's what I mean. I've got two books here that I pulled off of my bookshelf. Here's one of them, and I'm going to show you just the pages of the book, not the cover. Here's one, and here is the other. Now, based on what you know right now, based on just these two books that I've held up, which one of these is a better book? Well, thud factor, the thud factor theory says, well, this book is thicker, so it must be a better book. And this book's kind of thin, so it must not be as good. That person must not have tried as hard. And of course, that's ridiculous, right? Like the reason that a book is the size it is has often nothing to do with how good the book is. And I think we've got to look at teaching the same way when it comes to how much work we're giving out, how much teachers are preparing for students to do, how many hours they're logging in. You know, I'm hearing that people are being asked to record their time, to keep timesheets when that's not normally something they do. I'm hearing again about hours and hours and hours of Zoom meetings or online teaching. And I think only in very, very specialized circumstances does that make sense. So I think we've really got to give people some space, give people some room to live their lives with their families, and figure out of what we can do for our students, what's going to make the greatest impact. I would invite you to write to me and share your thoughts on that. What is it that's going to make the greatest impact? Because we know we can't do everything. We can't take everything online. And if we are going to hold staff accountable for anything, it should be things that make the biggest difference in the least amount of time, right? Just my opinion on that. Number seven, I think we need to focus on the base of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, of course, we've all learned about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the pyramid-shaped hierarchy that starts at the bottom with physiological needs, you know, shelter, food, clean air, clean water, sleep, rest, all of those basic needs. And then the feeling of safety that comes from those and comes from, knowing where your next meal is going to come from. So I have to say to all the school districts that are providing meals, breakfast and lunch, that they normally provide when school is open, providing those right now is a great way to meet those basic needs at the base of Maslow's hierarchy. I think some of the initial push to shove everything online and to say, hey, we're going to do everything through laptops or through Chromebooks or through phones or whatever, you're going to get a great education. It's going to be exactly the same. It's just going to be online. I think a lot of that push that we know now is not really going to work out very well was driven by these kind of higher level esteem needs on the part of districts. You know, we don't want to look bad compared to the other district next door. We don't want to look like we're not responding enough. And I think, we do, of course, have to meet the needs and expectations of our communities, but we also have to really make sure that we're prioritizing those lower level needs here. So, frankly, having the most cutting edge online curriculum is a whole lot less important right now than making sure that we're meeting those basic needs that our students have. And especially if students who have those acute needs are vastly outnumbered by well-resourced students who are getting plenty of opportunities at home anyway, then I think we've got to really, really look at that and take responsibility for that as leaders. Let me know what you think. Number eight here, keep other staff on the payroll with student support work. If you have had to furlough people, or if you have a lot of people who are saying, we've got all these, maybe instructional aides, classroom aides, there's nothing for them to do. They can't support the student's not here. I am hearing of individual check-ins, and I think the more we can be checking in on our individual students, the better. I don't think anybody should be asked to be on the phone for 7 hours a day or whatever their normal workday is. I think just a little bit goes a long way. And certainly if your funding is stable, I would love to see school districts continuing to, schools continuing to pay all of their staff, not just teachers, not just administrators, but aides and office staff, anyone who can pitch in to help with that work of supporting students. I think we've got to create as much stability as we can. I know if you are in a tuition-based private or religious school, you may be hurting on tuition. If your parents have stopped paying their tuition bills and so forth, then I know some tough decisions are needing to be made. But I think if we can prioritize maintaining relationships and maintaining student support, checking in with students, the better off will be, the more we can prioritize that. Number nine, I would love to see less documentation, supervision. Like, I don't think we need to have phone logs for every teacher. I don't think we need to have timesheets for every teacher. How many hours were you on Zoom this week? I think this is a time when we can put some high leverage basic expectations in place and then let people be. I just don't think we need to burden people with a ton of documentation. And finally, number 10 here, I think we need to check in with people individually on a frequent basis. And of course, this could be a great way to use those Zoom calls. Maybe once a week you're having a team meeting. Maybe it's 15 minutes, maybe it's not an hour long. You don't need to, do a whole bunch of intensive planning for next year, but check in with people, see how they're doing, and maintain those relationships. Let people know you care about them. Let people know they matter and the work that they're doing matters. Listen when they look for ways to optimize and to save time and to stop doing work that doesn't really need to be done. I am hearing people are stressed, and anything we can do to cut back on unnecessary stuff, I think we should do that. And the best way to get a sense of that is to check in with people individually. Incidentally, we are doing a webinar on April 10th called No Surprises Leadership, How 20 Minutes a Month Can Keep Brush Fires from Becoming Wildfires, based on my friend Jim Henderson's system called the 3Q check-in system. And this has been in the works, this has been on the calendar for months, and has nothing to do with the school closure, but just is a best practice that Jim has been teaching to organizations of all kinds that I know many administrators have been doing for years, of just sitting down once a month to check in with people one-on-one and say, hey, you know, what's up? Anything you want to tell me? Jim has some specific questions that can be very, very helpful. And I think for the most part, this can work online. And since we're not able to meet face-to-face with our staff, this can go a long way. So I want to encourage you to check out that webinar. We'll record it, I'm sure, if you're not free at the time that it's live. But do join us live if you can on April 10th. You can find out more at principalcenter.com/3Q. And Susan says, I'm going to call teachers individually and see how they and their families are doing. Love it. Yeah, little things like that go a long way, especially if, you know, we have been mostly reduced to passing on information and passing on expectations and passing on mandates, you know, got to do this, got to do that, can't do this, can't do that, don't use Zoom, don't use this, do use that, like all of this information. We just need a minute to reconnect and recharge and say, hey, how are you doing? And really listen to each other. So I want to encourage you to do that, checking in as soon as you can. And again, join us on April 10th. Jim's going to talk about some strategies for that in our webinar. In terms of taking care of yourself, we announced to all of our Instructional Leadership Association members yesterday that we are extending the Achievement Science Quarterly Intensive, which used to be just a navigator benefit. Our highest level members have had access to that for a while, but we're doing kind of a whole new focus this quarter, and April 1st is the start of a new quarter. So we're focusing this quarter in the intensive on some routines and habits for you know, for taking care of yourself, for getting work done. Maybe you've got kids in the house, maybe just the missing opportunities and structures that are normally part of your week and part of your day. You know, it throws us all for a loop to be in these you know, unprecedented times. So in the Achievement Science Quarterly Intensive, I'm doing a lot on goal setting, on daily habits, on daily planning, on daily checking in. So if you are an Instructional Leadership Association member, check your email. Yesterday, you should have received a link on how to join that. Again, we're just adding that to your membership at no additional charge. If you are not a member, you can sign up at principalcenter.com/quarterly, and I've reduced the sign up fee to $1. So it's a $47 a month membership. You can join for $1. If you need next month to be a dollar, just let us know in a couple weeks and we can make next month a dollar too. Whatever we need to do to support you during this time. But I know people are really on their heels with dealing a lot of with all of the overwhelm and the many decisions that need to be made. So I'd love to support you and learn what I can do to help. Check that out, principalcenter.com/quarterly, or if you're already a member, go ahead and find that email from yesterday. Reach out to our support team if you need help getting signed in there. Great question coming in here. Ashley says, I've been calling and video conferencing to check in each week, but I feel like those times are yet another thing to schedule for teachers. What's your recommendation? When's too much? Yeah, I think, you know, I think as time goes on, you know, we have to look at the overall calendar, and certain people probably are getting asked to be on a whole bunch of things and other people maybe are not. So, you know, some of it, if there's a team that's meeting this week, maybe hop on their team call and just say, hey, everybody wanted to check in. If there are people who are not involved in those team meetings, maybe they haven't heard from you in 2 or 3 weeks, then yeah, definitely time to reach out. But it is one of those things to be mindful of. And please do not put yourself in the position where you have to be on video calls 6 or 7 hours a day. Like, I just think that's not sustainable. It's not healthy. You know, and I'm in my own work, I'm pretty much in control of my schedule. And I know I'm not going to be in a good place if I'm on calls for six or seven hours a day. So please don't do that to yourself. You know, give yourself permission to, you know, to block off some time for that, but also to block off time where you say, you know what, this is kid time, this is family time, or I'm going for a walk, or whatever it is that you need to do. So let me know what you think about all of this in the comments, and we will talk soon. Let me know if you have ideas for discussion on next week's show. We will continue to deviate from our usual agenda here on the Instructional Leadership Show so that we can figure this out together and get through this time in a healthy way that does as much as we possibly can for our students. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for all you do. Please take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.